Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast that hopefully makes you happy and brings a little joy into your lives. Because that is the goal of this podcast. It's to remind you about the beauty in the world, the joy that's out there, and pretty much just the magic that's always eternally all around us. Now, this last weekend, I did not release a podcast, and that is because I was working 13-hour days at the Literary Festival, which turned out to be one of the most difficult and challenging and exhausting, but also beautiful weekends of my life. I had the extraordinary privilege to spend some time with Heather Cox Richardson before she took to the stage. But it was on the stage that she said something that really resonated with me. I mean, I think we all find ourselves suddenly, or maybe not so suddenly, in a world that doesn't make sense, where those in charge, those who are in our government, are maybe not the best example of what truth looks like, what honesty looks like, and what it looks like to bring beauty into this world. And I know that I've been exhausted by just trying to maintain a steady state, a feeling of optimism, and a feeling of hope for the world. And Heather Cox Richardson said something that captured my attention, and so I wanted to pass it along to you. Because I think we're all looking at what's going on in this country, and I think we're all saying fascism, authoritarianism. I mean, it definitely seems like we're sliding down this slope, and the speed is only increasing. But Heather said something that reminded me that in reality, we have a lot more power than we understand. She said, and I quote, "Authoritarianism cannot take root in a population that has joy." And I thought about that for a minute. I mean, what am I doing to bring joy to the world? What are you doing? What are we all doing? What kind of communities are we building? Who are we including? What kind of laughter are we bringing? What kind of inclusion? What kind of joy? And so I just wanted to take a minute to maybe put this little bug in your ear for you to think about in the coming days, weeks, and months. I mean, to be honest, this administration really, really, really doesn't want a population that's filled with joy, does not want a population that's filled with hope, and does not want a population that is happy, filled with laughter, and believes in beauty. And so cut by cut, they're trying to wear us down. But if we come together as a collective, and we come together wanting to increase joy, wanting to increase belonging, wanting to make this world a more beautiful place, well then, they don't stand a chance. And so I want you to think about that as these weeks go on. All right, enough of my soapbox. I'm now going to introduce you to my guest this week, Ash Perrow. And Ash tells a story that is equal parts slightly horrifying and painful, but also ultimately beautiful and inspiring. And he talks about his near-death experience that he had following back surgery in 2016. Now, as I'm sure you will have guessed, that incident, that happening in his life, changed everything. And so now for the last few years, he's coached people to break through their own inner barriers, trust their own wisdom, and step into their purpose with confidence and clarity. And also, I suspect, learn to bring joy into this world. His journey included overcoming severe PTSD and depression, and he emerged on the other side confident and incredibly resilient. But you know, me talking about it doesn't really amount to a hill of beans. I'm going to let Ash tell you about his experience and his journey in his own words. So now, here's my interview with Ash Perrow.
When he 2015, I had a surfing accident where I slipped two discs in my back surfing, and that led to back surgery. And post-surgery, I had internal bleeding. I bled out for 16 hours. And at the end of the 16 hours, the physio came in to get me up for rehab. And I sat on the edge of the bed and I looked down at my leg, and my thigh was twice the size of what it normally is. And I said to him, there's something not right here. My leg's not normally like this. And he said, you'll be okay. Just hop up and let's get you going. And at that point, I stood up and then I collapsed.
You know, you were talking about your connection, or maybe the way you relate to spirit, or, you know, that kind of divine energy. How did you get to this place where you relate to it in this way with this language? I'm so curious. Was it around what happened with your NDE?
So life presented a lot of challenges. In 2005, I had a stillborn daughter with my ex-wife, and that led to PTSD. There was depression. There was beauty in that moment. And holding this beautiful baby, there was beauty. But, gosh, the most excruciating, heartbreaking pain. Excruciating. And I didn't have the right support around me coming out of that experience to help guide. And so it was like I fell into this very dark hole for 11 years. It was, you know, 4 years of PTSD, getting to the point where initially I didn't know it was there. I didn't have any emotional awareness. I hadn't done any of that work. Life just was, there was, you know, blame for other people. There was no self-responsibility. It was just, but I had this youthful enthusiasm, like, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try that, can't fail. But it got to the point where I had to go into a mental health clinic because the PTSD got so bad that I was only sleeping 1 or 2 hours a night, if at all. And after 8 months of that, I was catatonic, right? I couldn't even sign my name. My wife had to help me sign my name to get into the mental health clinic. And life is teaching me through suffering. It's like, okay, guess what? You're this little speck of sand on this giant beach in the universe, and stuff's going to happen. And that led me to meditation. That led me to, at one point, I did a Reiki certification, and that was an amazing experience because all of a sudden, like, wow, there's energy that we can't see, and somehow, and I can feel it in my hands, and the people that are on the other side of my hands experiencing this can feel it too. And, there's something else other than this, than what I just was led to believe, right? I think I would had very much leaned towards my father's agnostic view, and that had been one of the guiding influences. But then when I did the Reiki course, I was like, hang on a second, there's something else in this. And because of the difficulties in life, I was doing a lot of personal work, looking at other ways of living, like, because the way that I was living wasn't working. So what do I need to find? And it's, you know, these questions drive our behavior. We have a picture of what we want life to be like. And it's like, how do I get that? So the picture of myself was healthy and happy. How do I get back to being healthy and happy? So those questions were driving me. And in 2015, I had a surfing accident where I slipped two discs in my back surfing, and that led to back surgery. And post-surgery, I had internal bleeding. I bled out for 16 hours. And at the end of the 16 hours, the physio came in to get me up for rehab. And I sat on the edge of the bed and I looked down at my leg, and my thigh was twice the size of what it normally is. And I said to him, there's something not right here. My leg's not normally like this. And he said, you'll be okay. Just hop up and let's get you going. And at that point, I stood up and then I collapsed, and he pressed the red medical button right next to the bed there. And the medical staff ran in and they put the oxygen mask on. They were trying to attach the ECG monitors. I was bathed in cold sweat. The ECG monitors wouldn't stick. And at that stage, I wasn't fearful. I was optimistic. There's part of me in life that's very optimistic, right? To my downfall at times, where I think, oh yeah, this will work, and then it's like, oh no, okay, that didn't work. But pick yourself up again. And they were trying to keep me alive, and they're saying, oh, the monitors won't stick. He's bathed in cold sweat. Stay with his ash. Keep your eyes open. He's not breathing. He doesn't have a pulse. I could hear them saying, reading out my blood pressure. And at one point, it was very clear, I could see where everybody was in the room. My eyes were still open. And in the corner, I could see the physio. He was young. He was fresh out of college, just pale. Then I heard them say his blood pressure is 52 on 36. And I thought, oh, I'm dying. This is dying right now. I'm dying. And then this immense sadness came over me, which was that nobody I loved was in the room. And it was just such immense sadness that I'm dying and no one I love is here. And then just before I blacked out, I looked at the physio in the corner and I just thought, you poor guy, you think you've killed me. And then you know, for me, there's lots of different terms, right? Crossing over, going to the other side, whatever it might be. My experience was that I was in blackness. I was still conscious, had a conscious awareness, even though if someone saw me in the hospital room, I would have been blacked out. But I was these ripples just moving out in all directions. And there was no separation between me and the ripples. I was the ripples and the ripples were me. And then in that, there was this deep sense of myself. So I had no physical pain, no emotional pain. I had a longing to stay. I really wanted to stay. And as those ripples kept going out and out and out, I started to try and bargain. I was like, I want to stay. And then I said, well, I want to stay for my partner. And the relationship that I was in at that point, you know, it meant a lot to me, but it wasn't working. Right? It just wasn't working for us. And we had a little blended family and we're doing our best, but it just wasn't working. I want to stay for my partner, still dying, still going out as these ripples. And then I said, I want to stay for the kids, still going out as these ripples, all directions. So, you know, if you think of a 360-degree view, it's not just on one plane, right? A 360-degree spherical plane. And that was me. And it was infinite. And then this warmth came over me and from a different place, I said, I want to stay for the work that I do and walk the planet from my heart. And the instant I expressed that in my body, opened my eyes, the medical team said, we've got a pulse, he's breathing. I was in excruciating level 11 pain. I started screaming because pain was, and that was because I'd lost so much blood. It was pressing on my organs. But I was alive. I was alive. And it took me a long time to process what happened because there was a lot of doubt around, did I just experience that? You know, and of course, I mean, let's look at the scientific things. Was it DMT release? Was it this? Was it that? And, you know, the surgeon said, I said to him about, I almost died. And he said, oh, you gave us a bit of a fright, but we knew you'd be okay. And then I spoke to a friend of mine who works in emergency and has done for over 20 years. He said, you went as close as you could possibly go. He's like, it's amazing you're still here. So that experience, that deeply connected me to the questions around what does it mean to live from my heart? What is the work that I do? What is consciousness? What does that even mean? And so the last 8 years has been, okay, how do I live from my heart? What's my work? What is consciousness? And so that, what a gift, you know? It took me 8 months to get back to full-time work because the physical implications were so severe, but what a gift, an absolute gift.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ash, and you can rest assured and your heart can feel some relief knowing that there is another gorgeous human in this world that's creating beauty and helping us all to be better human beings. If you want to check out what Ash is doing, there will be a link in the episode show notes to Ash's website. So do yourself a favor and do a deeper dive on Ash and his work in the world. I have to say, after last week's literary festival, I came out full of fire, and I'm realizing that even though I include little bits of beauty in the episode show notes, I realize I want to include moments of joy as well. So whether it's an animal, a vegetable, I'm just kidding, but am I kidding? Or a human being experiencing a moment of joy, I'm going to pepper those in the coming weeks and months and years. I think sometimes it behooves us to see other people enjoying themselves, and then suddenly we have a desperate craving to do the same ourselves. I want to let you know that this podcast is going to continue. I have so many more excellent guests, and each and every episode is meant to bring joy, happiness, hope, and beauty into your life. Please do share the podcast. It is meant to be shared, and this podcast is meant to increase the vibe of gorgeousness that's hopefully beginning to percolate the world. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Ash. Be open to the mystery. I mean, Ash did not know what was coming for him that day after he had surgery, and he had this whole experience that is kind of beyond words. I mean, honestly, he does an incredible job articulating it, but I think, obviously, he went to a place and had an experience that is so far beyond our understanding that we kind of just have to listen to the words and hope we understand. But he's come back here to share his story, to let us know that, you know what? There is incredible gorgeousness out there, and death is not the end. Yes, for most of us, it's still a mystery. And yes, probably for most of us, it's still scary. But those who have gone ahead of us and have returned, we should listen to their stories. I'm not saying that death is a good thing or a bad thing. It simply is. It is a truth in our world, and it's a mysterious truth, a powerful truth. There is no way any of us is going to get out of it. But really, I think it would behoove us to begin to try to understand the reality of death, and that far from it being an ending, it's actually the beginning of another adventure.